ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, entitled The Pure Devotional Service, Text Number 25. Atha videhi anga mano nukulam prabhashase bhagavata pradana yad aha vayasakir atmavidya visharado nirpatim sadhu pristaha. Atha videhyanga mano nukulam. Atha videhyanga mano nukulam. Prabhashase bhagavata pradhana. Prabhashase bhagavata pradhana. Yadahavayasakir atma vidya. Yadahavayasakir atma vidya. Visarado nripatim sadhu prishta. Visharado nipatim sadhu prishta. Atha videhyanga mano nukulam. Prabhashase bhagavata pradana. Yadaha vayasakiratma vidya. Visharado nripatim sadhu prishta. Nipatim Sadhu Prishta. Yeah. Ladies. Tadi dehyang gang anumugulam. Vibhasha se bhagavata pradhana. Yadaha vaya sakiratma vidya. Visharado nipating saru prishta. Atta. Therefore. Abidehi. Please explain. Anga. Osura Goswami. Mana. Mind. Anukulam. Favorable to our mentality. Prabhashase. You do speak. Bhagavata. The great devotee. Pradhana. The chief. Yad. Aha. What he spoke. Vyasaki. Shukadeva Goswami. Atmavidya. Transcendental knowledge. Visharada. Expert. Naripatim. Unto the king. Sadhu. Very good. Prishta. Being asked. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Osura Goswami, your words are pleasing to our minds. Please therefore explain this to us as it was spoken by the great devotee Shukadeva Goswami, who is very expert in transcendental knowledge and who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit upon being asked. Please repeat. Osura Goswami, your words are pleasing to our minds. Please therefore explain this to us. As it was spoken by the great devotee Shukadeva Goswami, who is very expert in transcendental knowledge, and who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit upon being asked. Purport. Knowledge explained by the previous acharyas, like Shukadeva Goswami, and followed by the next, like Suta Goswami, is always powerful transcendental knowledge, and it is therefore penetrating and useful to all submissive students. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pure Devotional Service, The Change in Heart. Om Ajnanatimidandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmanitam Jena Tasmai Sigurve Nama Mukham Guru Divasalam Pankam Langayate Girim Yatkipatam Hamande Sigurum Dhiram Tadanam Paramananda Madhavam Sishetanya Ishwaram. O Sura Goswami, your words are pleasing to our minds. Please therefore explain this to us as it was spoken by the great devotee Shukadeva Goswami, who is very expert in transcendental knowledge and who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit upon being asked. So this is the prime example of the way to receive transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam imam rajashayo vidu, that transcendental spiritual knowledge, it's something that needs to be handed from guru to disciple. It's a descending process. Typically in the material world, people like to or think that by their endeavors they can rise up to some higher level of consciousness or position or awareness or whatever it may be, an ascending idea, just like who was it, Ravana? Yeah. Ravana, who thought that he could ascend to the heavens by building some kind of material bridge, as present society is thinking that by our technology, by our speculations, we can discover some new level of existence. We can rise to the top. It's just ludicrous. It's ludicrous to think that this planet Earth is all that there is. And some people actually think like that. That this planet Earth is the summum bonum of human life. And everything that happens here is the center of the universe. Of course, we know that is not the fact from Vedic knowledge, which is, again, something that's being handed down from teacher to student, from spiritual master to disciple. As here, the sages are hearing from Suta Goswami, and they're asking that, please repeat what the great spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami previously stated. This is the, again, this is the proper methodology to understanding a spiritual knowledge. Tad vidhi paripatena. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. That with a submissive attitude, one should approach a bona fide authority, spiritual master, learned person, and render a service unto them. With a submissive attitude, just as here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada very nicely points out that this methodology is useful to all submissive students. If you think that you can just go ahead and do whatever you want to do and you'll achieve it, then certainly the opportunity is there. The independence is to do that is there. You can go ahead and work all you like and waste all your time, of course, and the choice is yours. And the end result, we know, as history has proven, is that such persons, they're simply consumed by the time factor. They all grow old, they get sickly, and they die. And again, they have to come back again. Bhuta, again and again, they have to experience this nightmare. Just like right now, we're experiencing to a certain degree, we're experiencing a nightmare. Whether it be economic, social, political, it's a nightmare. Medical, it's a nightmare for many people, and in so many degrees. That is the nature of the material world. So, how to rise above that? Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita, tadvari paripatena, that one should approach someone who can give you the proper understanding. Tad vigyanartam sagurum eva vigatshit. Samitpani srotriyam brahmanishtam. Why do we approach such persons? Because they're expert in understanding transcendental knowledge. They're expert in their understanding. And because of that expertise, which includes being engaged, it's not that you just have some theoretical idea, oh, well, you know, spiritual life is like this. Let's Let's talk about it, and then afterwards, let's go out and have a smoke. Let's go to the temple, the church, or whatever. And we can talk theoretically about all this stuff. And then afterwards, let's just go do whatever we had planned on our schedule today. Oh, well, we were supposed to go to a ball game. Oh, well, we were supposed to go do this or do that, hang on the beach. Whatever. So, not that kind of limited or that kind of theoretical idea. It's not realistic. It's totally unreal. Instead, one has to approach someone who actually has understanding and who's engaged. And because they because they're engaged, as Krishna, as it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana, because they're engaged practically in some execution, some service, they develop all good qualities, right? All the demigods and their exalted qualities are manifest in the person of a devotee. Whereas others who go here and go there, they're driven by some mental speculation. Unfortunately, they surrender to some delusional person. Just like there's the present leaders of the day, for instance, it's very obvious that they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. How to lead, how to show by example, how to speak, how to act. It's just not there. And it's just like lemmings that go to the sea and fall into the ocean. Right? They all walk to the shoreline, and because the ones in the front are leading the way, the ones in the rear, they keep walking until they push those who are in the front off the edge, off the cliffs, and they fall into the ocean. And what's ludicrous about it is that they can't even swim. So they fall into the ocean, and those in the rear see this, oh, well, they're jumping off the cliff. So everybody jumps off the cliff, and everyone drowns. So this is the case in modern society. Instead of teaching how to become, how to endeavor for liberation from birth, death, old age, and disease, jara, marana, mokshaya, instead of teaching how to become freed from that, and how to endeavor or take refuge in devotional service, instead, they're encouraged to engage in materialistic activities. And no good qualities, nothing auspicious comes of it. But those who are engaged in devotional service, instead, they develop all good qualities. There's a very nice description given in the Nectar of Devotion in a description of Krishna's 64 qualities. One of his qualities is fluent. And fluent, he defines as speaking meaningful words with all politeness and good qualities. And this is in direct contrast to the typical person of the age, of the present age, which there's, again, everyone has seen so many videos. There's so much information out there in the media of persons who are acting like this, acting like that. They're revolting against this thing or that thing. Instead of developing any sort of qualities and setting an example, instead, again, it's something that just drags people down. The nectar devotion, again, and there's a very nice description given by Uddhava, in which he says that Krishna's speech is that he doesn't speak long. He doesn't speak long. But every word contains volumes of meaning. We can see that practically in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, it's not that he spoke for hours and hours. He spoke for a very short period of time to Arjuna. And then we can also see that when he instructs Uddhava, or he's speaking to the residents of Vrindavan, it's not that Krishna has to speak on and on and on. No, but his words are so deep that they have volumes of meaning, and they can solve all the questions and problems of the world. Just as we see in this case here of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami, because again, the devotees, they develop these qualities as well. Just as Krishna is affluent, to a lesser degree, the devotees also manifest these wonderful qualities. So as Krishna was able to speak, his every word is so voluminous. Also the devotees of the Lord, as here in the example of Shukadeva Goswami. When we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that he says a whole lot. Of course, there are 18,000 verses. That's significant. But when you analyze his words, they're voluminous. It would take a lifetime and beyond to understand what he's given us. And Srila Prabhupada has further elaborated on that by giving us, again, his purports, which are so voluminous. When you read Prabhupada's translations and when you read Prabhupada's purports, they're so full of incredible insight. Of course, we understand that is coming from the Lord in the heart. Krishna in the heart is guiding and speaking through his representative as if he's speaking himself. And that is the fact. He is speaking himself through that representative. So when that representative speaks, as we hear from Srila Prabhupada's lectures, or when we hear from his purports, or when we hear from this purport here, which is only one long sentence, it's so full. It's so full of a realization. And if you dissect it, it has so much in it. And it's all there, again, for the benefit of the conditioned souls, for the students. Just as here, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to or Suta Goswami is reciting that which was spoken by Shukadev. Again, it's student-disciple, disciple or spiritual master-disciple, teacher-student. And this is their motive, simply just to give spiritual knowledge. There's no other reason. It's not to delude people. There's a very nice description given in the Vedas that the rivers don't drink their water. They don't drink their own water, but they flow for the benefit of others. And that the fruit-bearing trees don't eat their fruit, but they bear fruit for others. And the clouds, they don't drink their own water, but they shower others. For the benefit of others, they shower others. Similarly, the saints only live for others. When we see the example of Shukadeva Goswami or Suta Goswami, or we see the example of our most recent experience, Srila Prabhupada, these saintly personalities, they're not living for anyone else. They're only living, they're not living for themselves, but they're living for everyone else. So, therefore, they're always prepared. They're always prepared to take that fruit. Yeah, Prabhupada gives the example of taking the fruit from the tree. They take that fruit, and it's handed carefully from one hand to another hand, preserving its cleanliness, preserving its quality. So the disciplic succession is the spiritual master's giving to the disciple. The disciple then gives it to another, to another, to another. And it's protected in that way. And it becomes more relishable. Just like in the Bhagavatam it's described, Nigama Kalpatara Galitam Palam Sukham Khad Amrita Dhava Samyutam. That Shukadeva Goswami, he took this nectar, which was already there. It was already relishable. Biva the Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. He took it, and by explaining it, it became even more nectarian. Just like, again, the example of the mango, when it's touched by the parrot, when the parrot, with its beak, it pecks the fruit and it breaks the skin, the fruit ripens. So similarly, the great devotees of the Lord, such as Shukadeva Goswami and so many others, of course, again, Srila Prabhupada, when they give us this information of Bhagavatam, it becomes even more relishable. It's already nectarian, but it becomes even more relishable. So someone may ask, well, what is the use of all this repetition? Because sometimes people ask like that. You know, when you read the Bhagavatam, sometimes things appear to be repetitious. So someone may ask, well, what is the purpose of repetition? Why does Shukadeva Goswami have to repeat already what's there? Or the Suta Goswami, or et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Bhagavatam explains that by taking this sword of transcendental knowledge, one can cut through the knots of karmic activity. That's the point. We want to hear it over and over and over so that it cuts through that karmic activity that we've accrued over so many lifetimes. Unimaginable. How much is there? We can't imagine. Just like what's going on in the world now, again, we can't imagine how much suffering is there. But we can understand through Vedic knowledge that it's because people have engaged in so many sinful activities for so long. then now they're reaping the results, the fruit of their activities. So it's no surprise why people are having to suffer. They're dying in this way and that way with this terrible thing or that terrible thing. It's all a result of what of how people have been living in this life. So it's no surprise. But hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam cuts through that collection of karmic activity. And it facilitates one to understand or remember the personality of Godhead. Because by remembering the personality of Godhead, those sinful reactions are eradicated. So the Bhagavatam explains, Sudha Goswami, Sudha Goswami tells the sages, who will not pay attention to this message? Who in their right mind would not pay attention to this? There's something definitely wrong. Who would not pay attention to this? Because again, someone may ask, well, why is it that we should listen to this? Well, the answer is, why would you not? Seeing what's going on in the world, why would you not want to hear this message? And it's because of its penetration. It's penetrating and useful to all submissive students. And first principle or first law in a discipline is obedience, Srila Prabhupada explains. And bhakti is a discipline. So who would not listen to this message? You seriously have to question that. Of course, the Bhagavatam explains that as well. We know that it's killers of the soul. Those who engage in killing of animals and these heinous activities, we can understand from Bhagavatam why. But the question is, why would you not? Why would you not want to take some medicine? Why would you not want to do something which is going to help you? There's no answer. So, this purport is so wonderful. Srila Prabhupada again points out that this knowledge was explained by the previous acharyas, and it's a powerful, fully invested with a transcendental knowledge, and therefore can penetrate through the darkness, that dark cloud which is confusing us in this day and age. And especially this Kali Yuga. I was listening to a tape. Prabhupada gave the definition of Kali. The definition of Kali is hypocrisy. Wow. It's so evident. So we'll end there. Any questions or comments? Deva Bhatta Prabhu.
Really wonderful class, Prabhu. One point that was coming up, you were asking who wouldn't listen to it, and I was thinking to myself, well, one reason why someone may not listen to it is because they don't have a taste for it. Sorry, Prabhu, Maharaj. So one thought that came to mind is that, well, one reason why someone may not listen to it is because maybe they don't have a taste for it. So how do we as devotees, even amongst devotees, help each other develop a taste for hearing Bhagavatam?
Srinuta Svakata Krishna. You have to repeat it. It's just like like if you have a disease and the doctor prescribes a certain amount of antibiotics, you have to take it for the whole period of time. If you want to get cured, if you break it off at a certain point, you lose. You lost the benefit of taking that medicine. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna Katha, is the medicine. Bhavo Saraschoti Mano Bhiramat. It is the medicine for the disease of this Kali Yuga. So people have to hear it repeatedly. They have to hear it repeatedly. Why are the sages asking Asura Goswami to repeat what Shukadeva Goswami said? Because it's so nectarian. Because they're realizing how nectarian it is, how valuable it is. So people have to hear, they have to hear over and over and over. And eventually, that ignorance, jauntus of vidya, right? Sat Krishna Namacharitari Sitapya Vidya. When you constantly chant the name of Krishna, then that jauntus of avidya disappears. So when we're preaching to people, or whether we're chanting, or whether we're whatever service we're doing, because in the ultimate sense, in the highest sense, everything we're doing is part of the Sankirtan movement. It's all part of the chanting. It's all part of facilitating that execution of devotional service. So whatever you're doing is so valuable. It's so valuable. We can't minimize what anybody is doing. Everything is so invaluable. And if you do it repeatedly, it purifies one to the point where, oh, whoa, wow, all of a sudden it becomes so relishable. It's like here the sages, wow, what Shukadeva Goswami said is just, please repeat it.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a nice class. I was reflecting on when you were talking about how great souls they live for the benefit of others.
Yeah.
There's a nice verse in the 8th canto that, I'll give the citation. It's 8.7.44. It says, it is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general.
Yeah.
This is considered the highest method of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. It's in context of Lord Shiva drinking the ocean of poison in order to benefit, help the demigods and the demons churn the ocean of nectar. So I was thinking about
that. Yeah, it's a nectar verse. Is that Narayana Paraksarve?
No, it's my pocket Vedas is buggy. For some reason, it's tapayante.
Oh, tapayante, look at tapayana. Sarva praya sojana. Paramaradanandhadi purushasyakyulatmana. Yeah. To just for the benefit of others, they're willing to take whatever austerities needed to be. Yes.
I was just an anecdotal reference to the taste of hearing about Krishna Katha. Initially, before I even read any of Srila Prabhupada's books, I had listened to his lectures for about 2 years. And I noticed that, and I was doing it while I was chanting my japa, which is, we're supposed to be attentive, but, that's where I was at the time. And I don't know if I was chanting my japa attentively, but, over the course of doing 16 rounds, I heard a lot of what Srila Prabhupada said in his lectures. And the mind has a way of racing, but eventually it gets subdued. And Srila Prabhupada has, I was thinking, wow, he's really serious about this. You can hear in his voice and, his lectures, he's really, really serious about the process of Krishna consciousness. So that helped me a little bit in whatever progress I've made. I borrow that enthusiasm from him to hear about Krishna Katha, because he's interested and he's always talking about Krishna.
Yeah, that's great realization. Thank you. Savasprabhu.
Hari Bhavan, thank you for a very nice class. I was just listening to the question Devavrata Prabhu, and I thought in yesterday's purport, I wasn't here for class, unfortunately, but yesterday in the purport, it really summarized, I think, the whole process. If I can just read that for a minute. In the purport by Prabhupada, in the previous verse, Prabhupada says, the whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, so forth, as mentioned above. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious, so much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, trembling, perspiration, unconsciousness, and so forth is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return back to home, back to Godhead, will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. So that should be the impetus to see who we are, to come to Bhagavatam class and read Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Prabhupada's books. That's just the roadmap. Otherwise, we're going to be a neophyte devotee, and we'll never get that taste. We'll never have the ruchi, the taste.
Yeah, it's a perfect definition. I think Amala Bhaktima Swami had one last comment, last thing.
Just a brief point again. Thank you very much for a wonderful class, very inspiring and conducive to thinking as to real causes and real means to overcome these problems. You were saying it towards the latter part of the talk. Who would not want to read these books and follow the instructions when we can see there is so much conflict, there is so many problems, there is so much chaos, there is so much trouble in the world today. So who would not want to? The persons who would not want to are those people who think that these are all accidents, it's all happenstance, it's all coincidence, it's all happening by itself, and we have absolutely nothing to do with it. And this is the egocentric mentality of people today. I didn't do anything. Why would you want to blame me about it? Because I'm just living my life, your life of sin, life of wrongdoing, life of violating God's rules and laws, life of not even trying to understand the real cause and the real purpose of life. Just living like a feather, just floating about and being pushed this way and that way by the mayic winds. So the real point that I am trying to make is that people have to first come to this realization that we do cause things. And all, as Prabhupada makes it so clear, all these cataclysms that happen in the world, you know, the thunderstorms, the hurricanes, cyclones, earthquakes, fires, all this is caused by not happenstance or not accident. And even if somebody does it, that's not an accident. It's an effect of something that we have done. And we are getting the fruit, the bitter, not very tasty fruit of what we have done. We can't even conceive that because we think we're good, we're great, we're wonderful, we're glorious. How can you blame me for this type of thing? But when we harm people, we hurt people, we antagonize people, we do things which make them feel very uncomfortable, very disturbed, we have to pay for that in so many ways. And this, what's going on today is that. We pay for it. And when Krishna has to do a wholesale destruction like he did 5,000 years ago, this is a very easy way for him to do it. He can kill, and selectively. When you get out in the battlefield, though, everybody got killed. The Battle of Kurukshetra I'm referring to. But here, he did this. Okay, him. Before you know it, you have millions killed and the burden of the earth becomes relieved, basically. And one begins to see it is not an accident, not happenstance, not just an occurrence, but it is the result of our doing. We have to change what we do by understanding that there is a price that you pay when you do the wrong thing.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, the Lord is watching. It's not that something goes on in this world without Him seeing. the sun is observing in the day, the moon is observing in the night, the daytime is observing during the daytime, the night is observing during the night. You know, there's witnesses everywhere. It's not that something is going on without God's awareness. And we're simply reaping the results of all of those terrible activities.
We violate his rules.
Yeah.
And that's we have to eat that.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.